Please turn in the book of Proverbs, and I'll read one verse as we get started. We're going to look at a number of them from this book. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the verse of the year, one that I trust you have memorized. You can see the connection with the last song, obviously. The fear of the Lord. If you have it open in your Bibles, if you need one, be sure to get the attention of our men. They'll be glad to get a Bible to you. From the ESV, we'll be reading. Let's read it together. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Let's do it again. It's a little weak that time. Let's read it together, all right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we ask for your direction on our time together. May we not look at others and see their faults. May we not think of all these other people who are relevant to this particular message. But Father, may we all have open and responsive hearts to your word today. Change us, we ask. May we be more like Christ today than we were yesterday. Give us that desire, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going through our series on portraits from Proverbs. We're looking at pictures of different ones. We've looked at the simple and the fool and the scoffer. And today we're looking at the sluggard. And I'm sure that none of you would be able to relate to this at all. This is not relevant to you. So you can think about this as you're talking about your neighbor or someone else, all right? Who is the sluggard? The sluggard is a person who is habitually inactive or lazy, a slothful person, an idler, someone who is idle. There is an animal, actually, that reminds us of the sluggard. Who would that be? The sloth. The sloth. Let me just mention about the sloth. How many of you have ever seen pictures of the sloth? I wish I had one to show you this morning. I don't. The sloth is extremely slow-moving. They are found in the rainforest of Central and South America. Most sloths are about the size of a dog, and they have short, flat heads. Their hair is grayish-brown. At times, they look gray-green in color. Why? Because it's a camouflage of algae that has been growing on their coats. Some sloths stay in the same tree for years. Their huge hooked claws and long arms allow them to spend most of their time hanging upside down from trees. They do most things upside down. They eat, sleep, mate, and give birth all upside down in a tree. They sleep an average of 15 hours a day. Because of their upside-down life, I understand that many of their internal organs are in different positions from other mammals. Sloths are nocturnal and sleep curled up with their head placed between their arms and their feet drawn close together. It's actually part of their disguise to keep them from enemies like jaguars, who don't even see them as they blend right in. Sloths rarely climb down from their tree and can live up to 30 years. So I wonder how many trees they get to live in during the course of 30 years. Not very many of them. Maybe you know some people who resemble the sloth. Not in looks now, okay? And not because algae is hanging from their skin, but because they're slow moving, don't have much ambition, and they seem to be just hanging around all the time. With this in mind, let's turn our attention to the sluggard as he's portrayed in Proverbs. Let's do so, knowing that there is value in this for all of us. We may not be a full-fledged sluggard, but we may have some of these character traits in our life, and we need to work on them with God's help. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon paints us a sad portrait of the sluggard. He is never referred to in a positive light. He is always referred to in a negative manner. So if you have your outlines, if you don't have one, raise your hand, and I'm sure that Tony would be glad to get you a bulletin with an outline if you'd like to do that. But take out your outlines and let's kind of fill in some blanks there as we consider the sluggard. I'll help you fill in the four main points as we consider. Our outline is this. We'll look at the characteristics of the sluggard. We'll look at the consequences of the sluggard's activity, or I should say, inactivity. We'll look at the causes, the source of the sluggard's problems, the causes of the sluggard's problems. And fourth, considerations for helping the sluggard. So let's look at number one, the characteristics of the sluggard. Number one, you would not be surprised by this, the sluggard is lazy. Solomon paints a picture of the sluggard in a rather humorous way. In this book, Solomon uses humor so that it's not very difficult to remember his faults. It gives us a mental picture so that we'll remember what he's like and not want to be like him. He also kind of uses humor in a way to disarm us so that we laugh, but then the point sinks in and we say, "Oh, that's kind of like me." The first one is found in Proverbs 26:14. You can turn over to that, Proverbs 26:14. It's rather humorous. As you read this verse, 26:14, it says this, "As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed." Here we find the sluggard described as attached to his bed like the door swinging on its hinges. I love that picture. In fact, sometimes I would like to be on the bed more than what I am, so I could be referred to as that. But you get the picture of a person who's fastened to his bed and is just flopping back and forth, enjoying his sleep and not wanting to go anywhere else. It's a picture of a person totally absorbed with his own comforts. Turn to Proverbs 19:24. Here's another picture of the hand to the dish. Verse 24, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, in his food, and will not even bring it back to his mouth." Now, to further add to that, turn over to 26, chapter 26, and it's still the same picture before us. So there's a kind of an emphasis here, mentioning twice. 26 and verse 15. "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth." That is a picture of a sluggard. Laziness on steroids. Laziness to the extreme. Can you believe it? A sluggard's hand is so worn out, even trying to feed himself, it's too much work, and he can't bring it back to his own mouth. How lazy can you get? I think you get the idea of Solomon's picture. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and look at verses 6 through 11. "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer, gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, like what you're all doing now." No, not really. Okay. "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Two questions. How long will you lie there, sluggard? When will you get up? You might say that the sluggard likes the snooze button. He intends to get to his work, but only after a little bit more sleep. While the time for the harvest has come, the sluggard is not quite ready to get into the fields. The sluggard is always just about ready to start the job, but not quite. I've mentioned before, but we had a farmer in our area that was known for his laziness. In the winter, the snow would be flying. It would be into December and January, and his crops were still in the field. The corn was still out there. And sometimes you'd see him after the snow had melted a little bit, and he'd be out there with his machinery trying to bring the harvest in. But often you'd see him parked out in the middle of the field, stuck, because it was not the right time to get in the harvest. However, laziness does not just deal with work. Let's get a little bit close to home. It can also deal with relationships. There are people who have poor relationships because of their laziness. They never work at it. In fact, I guess the true picture of that is, in particular, is marriage. Some couples don't make it in their marriage because they never want to work at it. It takes a lot of effort, and we just don't have the energy and don't want to put forth the effort. Let's get even a little bit more personal. How about raising of our children, parenting? Our children are, you know, they're busy about their lives, and I'm really busy with my work and all that. And I don't have enough time, I don't have enough effort to discipline them, to teach them, to spend time with them. Brothers and sisters, it takes work to raise children, to teach them responsibility about life. Some parents are too lazy to do their work. That's one thing I am so thankful for, is I had parents who taught me how to work. Now, at the time, I didn't appreciate it, but they taught me about the diligence of work and getting up and on time, in fact, being there ahead of time. And I learned an awful lot of lessons from my parents, and I thank God that they were not lazy. I wish they were lazier in the punishment aspect of things, but they were not lazy in their training of us kids. Laziness can also impact our church involvement. We can get in the habit of letting everyone else do the work. We can be very diligent in the workplace, but a sluggard in our spiritual walk. No interest in reading the word. No interest or little interest in attendance at church or service in the local church or community. The sluggard is lazy. The sluggard procrastinates. The sluggard procrastinates. Number two. The motto of the sluggard is, never do today what you can put off until tomorrow. Sluggards have developed the ability to put off starting a task as well as completing the tasks until later. To him, one day is as good as another. He assumes that what he does not do today can easily be done tomorrow. It's always mañana. It's always the next day. The tasks he starts, he never finishes, because again, there's always more time. I was telling my wife last night as we were going to bed and it was getting late and we were advancing another hour. I said, honey, don't listen to this point, all right? You know, tasks unfinished, all that stuff. Just kind of avoid that, because I guess I realize I'm more of a procrastinator than what I want to realize. Proverbs 20 verse 4 says this, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn, he will seek at harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 12:27. Interesting verse. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Now you look at that and you say, what in the world is it talking about? Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. My understanding of this passage is that the sluggard has gone to the effort of catching his prey, of getting that deer, of getting that animal, and he brings it back, but he does not go on to roast it, thus wasting his efforts and losing the benefit of his labor. He procrastinates. I'll leave it to another day to tend to my game, to roast my deer or whatever, to take care of it, only to waste all of his efforts. The sluggard has no follow-through at all, therefore nullifying the good of his efforts. And though these may have been a little too little and too late, I came across the procrastinator's poem. Let me read it for you. I've gone for a drink and sharpened my pencils, searched through my desk for forgotten utensils. I reset my watch, I adjusted my chair. I've loosened my tie and straightened my hair. I filled my pen and tested the blotter, and gone for another drink of water. Adjusted the calendar and raised the blinds. I've sorted erasers in all kinds, different kinds. Now, down to work, I can finally sit. Oops, too late. It's time to quit. All that preparation only to stop and not begin the work. Number three, not only is the sluggard lazy and a procrastinator, the sluggard makes excuses. He is slow at most tasks, but he's quick at this one. He's quick to make excuses. Don't ever kid yourself about the sluggard. His mind is working fast, even though his body is going nowhere. When it comes to shirking responsibilities, no one has a quicker mind than the sluggard. There's always a reason not to begin the activity. Proverbs 22:13, you'll like this one. Proverbs 22:13 says, "The sluggard says, 'There's a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets.' The implication is, it's unsafe out there. I better stay here in bed where it's safe." What's the likeliness of your finding a lion in the streets? Not very likely. No bear or lion or even some of the animals around this area that are native to this area. But the sluggard has many reasons for why he can't come to work and why he can't get involved. He declares he would work if only there were fewer obstacles in his path. Billy Sunday defined an excuse this way. An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Interesting. Skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Number four, let's move on. The sluggard takes the path of least resistance. In other words, he takes the easy way out. The sluggard is a person who has the ability to work, but refuses to do it. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 10:5, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Let's move on. The sluggard is foolish. While all fools may not necessarily be sluggards, all sluggards are foolish. Proverbs 10:26, you'll like this one as well. You can quote this one for someone else. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. You think about smoke in your eyes, irritation? None of us would really like to be sucking on vinegar or drinking it or using it for mouthwash. It's irritating. So the sluggard is irritating to his employer and coworkers. He is more of a nuisance than a help. While the sluggard does get moving, he is very difficult to work with. He doesn't want to work, doesn't like people to do work, and doesn't like people trying to get him to work. Do you know anybody like that? Do you work with anybody like that? Probably. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. Number six, let's move on. The sluggard always needs to be managed or supervised. He is the guy you need to watch all the time, because if you don't, he'll be sitting down and not doing his work. You cannot trust him to do his work on his own. He's not a self-starter, and he needs a taskmaster over him. It tells us in chapter 12, verse 24. In fact, the hand of the diligent will rule while the slothful will be put to forced labor. They need to be told what to do. They need to be whipped into shape. They always need to be overseen. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. In fact, turn there. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with needles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Ecclesiastes goes on to say in chapter 10, verse 18, through sloth the roof sinks in, and through indolence, which is inactivity due to not wanting to work, through indolence the house leaks. So the sluggard is not one to get started and needs to always be managed. So what are the consequences of this sluggardly inactivity? The consequences are difficulty and stress, problems and pressure. The closer you look at Proverbs, you see that the sluggard must experience unpleasant circumstances. Over and over, you find that words like poverty, that he lives without because of his inactivity. The sluggard has even then more problems with hunger and poverty. His whole life is plagued with problems. It's not good to be a sluggard. Third, the causes of the sluggard's problems. What is the source of all this? Why does the sluggard do what he does? Well, I think obviously we can say in a short answer, it's because of sin. His sinful nature and just living in accordance with his sinful nature. But there are a couple things I want to just bring out as it relates to this. The sluggard is self-centered and not God-centered. He leaves God out of the picture. And so his life is to be lived for himself, thus ease and whatever he wants to do, with no concern for anyone else. He's only concerned about numero uno, with himself. No consideration for God or for anyone else. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So he's only concerned about himself. Second, the sluggard looks for ease and pleasure. The sluggard just wants to take it easy. Let everyone else do the work. Three, the sluggard thinks only about the present. Only about the here and now, only about today, with no regard for the future. And thus Solomon says, go to the ant, you sluggard. He prepares. He's ready for the future. He doesn't just care about today. Number four, the sluggard lacks self-control. If there is any food in the house, he eats it with no thought for the consequences. If he has the choice of work or play, he will choose to play. Whatever is easy, whatever is enjoyable, that will always be his choice. And you know as parents what it's like to get our kids to realize that, to get away from the games to do tasks, to realize that life is important, schooling is important in preparation for the future. Number four. Considerations for helping the sluggard. We've looked at the characteristics of a sluggard, the consequences, the causes, but now the considerations. I believe, number one, the sluggard must learn the hard way. They must learn the hard way. We've already seen that problems and pressures are consequences of a sluggard's lifestyle. And sometimes that is what it takes to cure them of their slothfulness. I think we have to be careful, especially with our children and those under our care, that they must not be shielded or protected from the consequences of their laziness. I remember on many, many occasions telling my boys, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm requiring you to do this, because I want you to learn to work hard. It's been fun now. At the time, they didn't like it, but it's been fun now that they're growing up. Josh, 32, and now Michael, 23, they've come back and said, Dad, thanks for teaching us about what it means to work hard. Definitely didn't like it at the time, but they see the importance of that. Sometimes the sluggard has to experience the pain, the pressure, and the problems. Maybe they even need to be fired or penalized for their laziness. I think of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He finally came to his senses when he had squandered all of his assets and ended up in a pig pen and realized that's not where he should be. And he went back and apologized and made it right with his father. So sometimes the sluggard must learn the hard way. Second, the sluggard needs to put first things first. The sluggard needs to begin with the fear of the Lord. We sang earlier, and then in Proverbs 9:10 and also in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then our Lord went on to emphasize that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. All the Old Testament is summed up in two commands: love God and love your neighbor. The sluggard's problem is that he has chosen to disregard both of these. He does not love or fear God, and he does not love his neighbor. In Philippians chapter 2, it reminds us, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. So the sluggard needs to put first things first. And third, the sluggard must learn to what? What do you think, class? To work. The sluggard must learn to work. Again, go to the ant, Proverbs 6:6. O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Solomon wants the sluggard to consider the ant, to look at how diligent they are in preparing and working for the cold season to come. The bottom line for the sluggard is that he must stop loafing and get to work. Laziness is not just a neutral character issue. Laziness is a sinful habit, and it affects the whole person. God knows our heart, and he warns us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We should be alert to signs of slothfulness and reject the temptation to put forth anything less than the best efforts for the Lord. In fact, in Colossians 3, we read, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Well, let's bring it down for a conclusion. It's easy to point out the problems with the sluggard in the workplace, but what about us? What about the spiritual sluggard? Are we paying attention to our spiritual life? Are we paying attention to our relationship with God? Or are we just lazy, letting it go, and have we become like the sloth? A gray-haired lady, long a member of her community and church, shook hands with the minister one Sunday morning after the service. That was a wonderful sermon, she told him. Just wonderful. Everything you said applies to someone I know. The lazy person is quick to point the finger at someone else. And yet we need to look at ourselves and say, Lord, change me. Please don't be like the sluggard in your work, in your family, in your relationships, and especially in your relationship to Christ. May God help us to work diligently for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are in awe to see how you address so many issues of life. The Word of God is so practical. It's so where the rubber meets the road. And I pray, Father, that we might examine our hearts today, not just think of someone else, but we might see our own needs and be willing to confess and determine, with your help, to be faithful laborers for Jesus Christ. May our faith, may our diligence in our spiritual walk carry over into our schoolwork and into our workplace efforts. May our testimony for Jesus Christ, may we be known as one who labors hard, who is diligent, who is on time, who is faithful, because we know that's how you'd want us to live. Lord, change us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.